This is Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out. Sarah Van Beckham is a painter in the stable of the Slate Gray Gallery in Telluride. The artist artfully describes her largely abstract canvases as, in quotes, a soul tantrum or celebration that is played out with paint on a surface. But Sarah insists the work is not her, more like her offspring. Sarah Van Beckham is Slate Gray's featured artist for the month of September. A show of her work opens in concert with Telluride Arts Art Walk on September 5th. Sarah, thanks for taking time out of your painting schedule to join me.
Of course. Happy to be with you, Susan.
Thank you. So would you describe the ways growing up as you did on a 160-acre farm in Wisconsin put you in touch with nature as a source of inspiration for your art?
Yes. I grew up about 8 miles from the town in which I went to school and socialized, but I couldn't get to town very often. I had a family of six. I was in a family of six kids, and so we spent just an awful lot of time outdoors. I'm actually presently sitting on the front porch of that property, of the home in which I was raised, looking at a cornfield, which is, I think, a perfect example of what I see out there in nature. I see the rows of corn and I see the patterns in the lines. Because I was outdoors all the time, I was romping around all of this acreage. And one example is of my love and interest in the patterns and textures and colors of nature is the milk pod. I loved the shape of that pod. When it was fresh in the spring, it was a cluster of purplish flowers, which would then dry off and the milk pod would form kind of as in a paisley shape. Then it would dry and it would crack open and there'd be silky interior with little seeds. And it goes on. All of the little plants and the shapes and the colors and the just the beauty of it all was always in my head. I was always seeing shapes, I guess would be the best way of putting that. So lots of time outdoors.
Okay. Thank you. And do you come from a family of artists, or are you a genetic anomaly?
I come from a creative family. My father was kind of bohemian. He grew up in the city and wanted to live out in the country and be a farmer. His father was a businessman, so he came out here, and he and my mom started having children, six in total. And somewhere along the way, he decided, I can't be a farmer. I need to get something better going on to raise this family. So he went to veterinary school. But he always taught, be different, be yourself. My mother was very creative in the way she put her home together. She was a doodler. My sister is a graphic designer. Presently, I have a brother who's a museum quality fine furniture maker. And all in all, we just were taught to be self-sufficient. And we ended up all doing things with our hands. That was kind of an accomplishment to create something. So not necessarily all visual artists, but definitely I grew up in a family of self-sufficient do-it-yourselfers, and in particular, using your hands and creating. Lots of woodworking going on in my family as well.
Thank you for that answer. Now let's talk about the times you lived outside of America, in places like Colombia, Mexico City, and Paris. What motivated the travel, and how did your deep dives into cities like the ones I mentioned and those countries influence your life and your work? How do those memories show up in your paintings?
I moved to Colombia when I was 14 years old. My father, as I said, was a vet. He took his family of eight down there to teach at the university and to do research. He had a wanderlust and loved to travel. That's when I felt my love of travel began. I grew up on this 160-acre farm in the country, and there we were being transported to a big developing country where another language was spoken. There was poverty. And through it all, I just think it made my spirit soar. I don't necessarily take inspiration directly from those travels, but I do feel like those travels feed my soul and then feed the passion in me, which then in turn feeds the art. So I don't think it's a direct direct response to traveling, but it just, I soak it all up. I get excited. I come home and I feel inspired to swirl around with paint and colors and have fun on the canvas.
So at least not consciously, but maybe quite unconsciously.
Right. Very much so. Very much so. I don't, when I do my art, I don't think, aha, I'm going to put this down on the canvas. I have a preconceived, I don't have a preconceived idea of what I will be painting. It's more from the gut and it's just kind of comes out and then I go after it and just do it based on my responses to what I've already put down. Yes. So it's indirect, but the travel feeds me, it energizes me, it excites me, which then that keeps my energy level up for creating art.
Great. Now let's talk about some of your influences, the artists you admire who may in some way be channeled in your work, and please touch upon major mentors, personal and professional, and the lessons they imparted.
The artists I always looked at as a kid were Matisse and Chagall, Miro, Van Gogh. I love the color. I love the sort of outsider feel of that art. It felt a little primitive, a little raw, not refined like great masters painting. I very much responded to that. Then when I was in college, at a small girls' college in Milwaukee, I had a design instructor named Sister Rami Rever. She was a renowned textile designer, and she taught design through printing on textiles. She was a major mentor in my life. She inspired me. She commented on what a natural I was for design, and so she really spoke to me a lot. I also had a family friend. We had a family friend. The woman was Lorna Ballion was a children's book illustrator. And they were a very unconventional family, also with six children. So we hung out with them, and I was always mesmerized by her passion for her work and her sitting at her desk and accomplishing her beautiful illustrations. And I was always kind of hanging over her shoulder, getting a look at how in the world she did that, and really struck by the amount of dedication and discipline that she exhibited in doing all of that. So, you know, I also love Sonia Delaunay. A new artist that I've just discovered is Albert Olin. He's a German abstract expressionist, and I really feel like I'm resonating with his work. So that's kind of a new discovery. So Milton Avery, that's another one that I've loved. I've also taken some classes recently, I would say in the last 5 years, from two Japanese instructors whose work I very much appreciate, Tadashi Hayakawa and Homare Ikeda. They teach at the Art Students League in Denver. So they have been huge inspirations for me. And, I feel... Actually, right now, I feel kind of ready to dive into another class and just get some new inspiration going now that I'm through another body of work. So yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that information. I find that when I look at your work, I can see Matisse, Milton Avery just converted, not their imagery, but their energy is in your paintings.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I do feel a lot of emotion when I look at those artists that I mentioned, and I think my work gives off a sense of emotion. I've had many people tell me, I feel emotion when I look at your work, and which you don't always feel. Some work is more cerebral, some is more emotional,
yes.
And I think that's all over the place on my canvas. I get
Yeah, I think you hit the gut and not the head so much.
Yes, that's where I'm coming from.
To that point, and as I said in your introduction, you've described your art as a soul tantrum or a celebration played out on with paint on a surface. Is that another way of saying that your will to form, to borrow a phrase from art critic William Wolfflin, is an outer expression of an inner voice and a desire to both honor and to quiet that voice?
You know, I hadn't heard that quote from that art critic, but I have to say I quite like it. Yes, that speaks to me. I I do feel like I'm raw and wild and free when I initially start a painting. I am working with my whole body. I'm moving from my shoulder joint rather than my elbow or my wrist joint. I'm doing big swirling movements. And as I narrow the painting down or become more, as I get further along, I become more precise. But I think that the beginnings of these paintings all start out with a very much wildness, and then, you know, as I go along, an attempt to tame things and settle things down a bit without losing that freedom and that the expressiveness that I felt initially.
Good. Now I'd like you to illustrate what you just said by talking about three of the paintings that will be on display at Slate Gray during your opening show. They are Emotional Rescue, Storm on the Rise, and Whisper. Use them to explain more deeply your creative process and the final product.
Well, Emotional Rescue is a piece that had initially been, a lot of us artists paint over old paintings. So this piece had been painted as more of a stylized floral, some giant, what were they, lilies, I guess. And so that piece had been around and about, and it had not sold. And I lost interest in it. I don't like to have work out in the marketplace that I don't love. So I pulled that piece back in and thought, I want that back. I want to do something with it. So I kind of kept a floral feel going. But then I got a little tired of that approach to it, and I decided to kind of consider that there was an explosion in the middle of the process. And so I took what looked like a very soft kind of abstract floral and then went into an entirely abstract direction. So you can see that in the painting where it's a little more peaceful on one side, and then there's some explosive, really strong mark-making abstract finishes to it. The other two, actually, Whisper, is a piece as well that I went on and on with. It wasn't coming along the way I wanted it to, so I took a brush with white paint, a big white brush, and I kind of whispered, if you will, or gently stroked the surface of it and put almost like a layer of fog or white over a lot of it, leaving some of the layer beneath it to come through. So that's how that one went. The last one, Storm on the Rise, was another...
Yes.
Kind of wild piece that actually I was working painting in a studio at that time, and the manager of the studio came by and was watching me, or she came by as I was at a certain point in the painting, and she said, stop right there, I love it. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to let this one go. I'm going to let her say I love this, and I'm just going to leave it alone and call it a day. And I stepped away from it, came back the next day and looked at it, and I thought, yes, I can accept that is a finished piece. So I have to say, many of my paintings are very labor-intensive, and an equal number, maybe actually a smaller number, are very intuitive and very fast. I end up liking both of these approaches, though in the approach that the painting that takes many, many, many hours, there is frustration involved, but then I only can stop when I come to love the piece and feel rested and satisfied after I've done the work.
Yeah, when you've quieted that voice.
So, yeah, there you go. Well put.
So thank you very much. This has been Susan Diebrock, Telluride Inside and Out, having an initial conversation with Sarah Van Beckham, a relatively new artist in the stable at Slate Gray Gallery in Telluride. Her first big show takes place in concert with Telluride Arts Art Walk, at least it opens then, and that date is Thursday, September 5th. The work will be up certainly throughout the month of September and available throughout the year. Sarah, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Susan.
You're more than welcome.